6.5 years as athletic director, 41.5 years at Waco ISD, including assistant coaching jobs at Richfield University. Jefferson Moore, he was their football coach also at Waco High for 23. Johnny Tusa officially retired, and he joins Paul Catalina. I'm David Smoke in studio. You've been gone before, and then you came back. Did you accomplish what you wanted to when you came back 6.5 years ago?
I don't think I accomplished everything that I wanted to, David. We're definitely in need of facility upgrades at both the high schools. I think we were headed in that direction, and hope they're still headed in that direction. But you probably know the deal that we had going with the Heart of Texas, with Extraco, and the land swap, so on and so forth. That has not come to full fruition, to my knowledge. That's got to happen. You know, you in this day and time, you spend 95% of your time on the practice field. You've got to have those kind of facilities on campus, be it high school, college, or whatever, that give you an equal opportunity. You know, I never wanted to – I wasn't necessarily interested in being ahead, but I didn't want to be behind either. You know, you want to have a fair shot at it each and every year.
How much does that affect your participation when kids have to go – to ping pong all over the city to go do what they have to do?
Well, you know, that of course that's a problem in high school because you only have 1 hour a day in an off season program, or 300 minutes a week as it's stated. They all have facilities. Of course, the WISD stadium is a neutral site, and we play, you know, football games there and soccer games, and that doesn't factor in the day-to-day process of putting teams together. And so your focus has got to be on the campus. And quite frankly, Waco High is behind. University has a new facility over there, but they could stand a new field house and some other things. And I'm hoping that that with the new superintendent and the new administration there, that they'll head in that direction.
Johnny, what's going on? Why has Waco High fallen so far?
Well, you know, you probably can't put it in one basket, David. The talent's not there that we used to have. You know, that can be attributed to a lot of things. The growth of the community, the outward growth into the suburbs. You have more schools doing more things facility-wise, curriculum-wise. And, you know, economically speaking, we were blessed by time there. We were really blessed with, you know, some outstanding players. And it's no secret. You're not a good coach without good players.
No, you're right.
You know,
yeah.
And the better the players, the better coach I was. And we played anybody and everybody in the state and didn't back down from anybody. And that was because we felt like if we were going to be a premier program – that, you know, if you're going to be the best, as old Foge Fazio, my old cousin, says, you got to play the best and beat the best. And that was always our mantra, that we take on anybody. And I always considered non-district games, they've nothing more than a scrimmage. I mean, you bare your soul naked. When you play John Tyler, you play Tyler Lee, you play Lufkin, Longview, the Woodlands, Converse Judson. Gee whiz, you don't come back home not knowing what you got, and that was important to me.
Speaking of that, former Robert E. Lee coach Mike Owens, you guys played them, and I knew when they were better is when they finally beat you, and it wasn't easy. But I have always had great respect for Johnny. He was a great coach. We had some epic battles. Neither of us wanted to play each other, but we always said, I guess we have to, because we couldn't find anyone else to play us. What a great guy he was.
Mike was super. He was a great football coach. When you played Mike Owens and Tyler Lee, you had to be ready to go. And we did have some epic battles and some epic plays. And you know, he had Mike Flynn at the time, and Matt Flynn at the time, and great running backs all the time, and they were really good defensively. But you know, my admiration for East Texas football, it was on the top shelf, because those guys when you lined up with them, you knew that somebody out of that area was probably going to be playing for the state championship at some point in time.
I always thought you fit that district more than anybody else around the state would have fit that. At the time, Wake, Ohio would have been perfectly formed into that district.
Yeah, we were like kind in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it was a real challenge for us. But like I said, when we came away from those ball games, win or lose, we had a number one, we had a healthy respect for our opponent, which we always had when we went out there. But secondly, we knew exactly what we had to do getting ready for our district. And, you know, that was the beauty of high school football is it's the district games count, and you have a way of choosing a state champion. It's not in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on the playing
field. Not some playoff committee.
Yeah, gee whiz.
Not some beauty pageant.
That's right. Makes you tired. But anyhow.
Yeah. Do you know how they do it in Florida now?
Oh, there's no telling.
They're using maxpreps.com to seed the playoffs for them, so they save money on travel. I cannot imagine having to wait for a website to do your work for you.
I got one better than that. In California, if you play football, you pay to ride to the game on game day.
So. On the bus?
On the bus.
Wow. Mike Owens also told me, Paul heard this story as well. Halftime, both teams on the sidelines. The Wake, Ohio band was on the field beyond their allowed time. On a whim, Mike Owens walked over to the ref and said, "You know you have to give Wake, Ohio a penalty for delay of the game." The ref responded, "He would if the band had not left in the next minute." I said, "Well, they already delayed the kickoff for 5 minutes. You have to do it." To my surprise, he flew through the flag. You lost your mind, didn't you?
I did. I really did. And I confronted the band director on Monday. I said, "You know, the next time I get a penalty for you being out there, you're going to coach this team in the second half." But I was not a happy camper.
Go ahead and let's see if you can get him to for a second now. What was the biggest difference being a football coach, and even though a lot are AD football coach, being the football coach and being the AD? Because even though you're the AD, there's decisions to make. You still don't have your hands in the mud.
Well, it's not a job that's as fun as coaching. There is nothing like coaching. Anybody that's ever done it, there's nothing you can do in sports that surpasses or supplants coaching because of the exhilaration, the hands-on with the kids on a daily basis, the constant changing, just the overall effort that you have to give is just like none other. I mean, you guys know you've covered sports forever. It's a day-to-day deal. No 2 days are alike. No two ball games are alike, it's just after I got out of coaching and did a little speaking with the AFCA, I always said that, there's no doubt in my mind that football is the greatest game that we got and coaching is the greatest profession that we have.
You mentioned you cannot win if you did not have talent. Let's real quickly. Here's somebody that helped you win a little bit. Derek Johnson, Hall of Famer. Former Kansas City Chief, of course, Wake, Ohio great, UT great, on with us now. And Derek, you want to say hi to Coach?
Hey, what's going on, Coach?
Hey, Derek, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Yeah, I'm doing. Hey, same to you, Coach. Same to you.
Well, this is a surprise here. All right.
Paul and I just back off.
Yeah.
Derek, do you have a favorite Johnny Tusa story that can be told on the radio?
Man, you know what? I don't know if I can. That's a little while ago, sir. I don't know if I can think back that long ago. But you know what? I tell you what, Coach Tusa always have has the greatest sayings in the world. Just he's always got a saying or two for you, something, a life lesson that you can always learn from. And I just want to tell Coach that I appreciate him for not being – sometimes when you have high school coaches, you kind of leave that high school time back in the day. But Coach Tusa is a person I can call up at any time of the year when I was even in the NFL that I can still get inspiration from. So I really appreciate just the man he is and just what he represents as a high school football coach.
But, well, Derek, this goes without saying, but you were one that made me a way better coach than I really was, and I appreciate that. I can tell this. I got two of Derek's Pro Bowl jerseys, and
wow.
On one of them, he he put a saying on there, all it takes is all you got. I mean, that's that was one we leaned on a lot of times. But David, you probably remember this. When we played John Tyler out there, Derek made 29 tackles in that ball game. And when I look back, I tell my wife, if he's not on that bus, we should have never got off that bus.
How many plays did you run in it? I mean, it wasn't like they're running the spread.
They ran the wing T, baby.
They ran the hammer and the scat, and they ran it with four different tailbacks. And God bless Derek. He was a one man wrecking crew that night, and of course. He made several big plays, but we came back and played those guys again in the quarterfinals, and really and truly, that was probably the most disappointing game that I've ever coached, because we had a 21-0 lead that we let slip away, and we had to go into overtime and lost.
Yep.
We had the next game with Arlington Lamar here. That was already a settled deal, and John Tyler went on to beat him and got beat, I think, by Judson in the state championship. Katie in the state championship game. And, that really and truly.
He had Aaron Ross.
Aaron Ross on that team. Yeah. He's the best defensive back we ever played. I guess the best running back was probably Cedric Benson.
Derek ended up playing with those guys.
Yeah, sure. Derek's a smart guy. He got on the same team with him. And I don't blame him.
I've told the story. Derek's heard this before, and I know Paul's heard it 1,000 times, but the 29-tackle game against JT was in Tyler.
Right.
The week before you beat Lee 34-9, they had Derek Farmer, and they were really good, and you guys beat them 34-9. He had one long run. Mm-hmm. But Derek was everywhere, and I kept mentioning to him on the broadcast. And the John Tyler fans were thinking I was just trying to prop up Waco High and Derek Johnson to make it look like Lee was okay. And then they met you the next week, and they realized, my God, yeah, he's pretty damn good.
He's a real deal. In fact, that Derek Farmer thing, and I can see this play now. Derek blitzed on the play.
75-yard run, wasn't it?
He got there about the same time the ball was handed to Farmer. And the ball went one way and Farmer went the other. Yeah. And I don't know, Derek, did you scoop that one? I know you intercepted one and ran one.
Yeah, I intercepted one and took it to the house, right. 20 tackles that game.
Yeah.
So I actually had 20 and then 29 and 30 the next week. So I had 50 tackles in 2 weeks. So that was a busy couple of weeks for me.
Derek was not only busy, but he was fast busy.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was really fast.
Derek, hey, thanks for calling in for Coach. We appreciate that.
Love you, man. Tell your family hello. We love you. We appreciate you. And I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. I love you too, Coach.
All right. That's Derek Johnson, all everything, and a former Waco High great as well on ESPN Central Texas. Good to hear from the old guys. I mean, and isn't that the relationships you build?
That's what it's all about, David. You know, people forget games and scores. You don't forget relationships. I try to stay in touch with Derek and send him, inspirational thoughts. I visited the Kansas City practice when he was a rookie, and of course Dick Vermeil was the coach, and I had my family with me. My oldest daughter happened to be living in Kansas City at the time. So Derek got me permission to come tour the facility and watch practice. And so I'm talking to Dick Vermeil. He was a wine guy back then. Would you like to say a few words to the team? I almost dropped my teeth. I said, what would a high school coach tell grown men in here? So anyhow, I got to sit in on their pre-game meeting, and I'm sitting in the back with the general manager, and Green was the quarterback, was the captain that week. Trent Green, the quarterback, and a couple other guys. The defensive guy came up, and about that time, Dick Vermeil gets up there. He says, "Well, we got Derek Johnson's old high school coach sitting in the back down there." Said Johnny Tusa. Said, "Won't you come on down?" I can tell you guys that was the longest walk of my life.
I bet.
I'm walking down. They got Willie Ross sitting in there and all these big guys. And the essence of what I said to them, they were playing San Diego, mm-hmm. who had LaDainian at the time. I said, Fellas, if you can hold LaDainian to under 100 yards tomorrow, I think you can win. You know, lo and behold, they did that. And I'm just disappointed I didn't get invited back for the pregame speech the next week. But anyhow.
Were most of your speeches off the cuff? Or are those ones you kind of started planning during the week?
Yeah, they were. Bear Bryant, when I was a young coach, I heard him speak in Dallas, and when I first got started, he said, if you're the head coach, you got to have a speech in case you win, and you got to have one in case you lose. He said you need to go in the ball game with two speeches. I learned that you don't say much after a loss because you might not say the right thing. Mm-hmm. You can get away with a lot of things after a win. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, great game, all that. You got to be careful after a loss. Of course, my standard speech was, "Hey fellas, I didn't do a good enough job of coaching. This one's on me. I can promise you that next week I'm going to be a different guy. We're going to get this thing together." And that was pretty standard for me each and every week. If we did great, I would applaud the guys. But if we didn't, that came back to me. They were never to feel like it was any of their fault. The fault had to start with me.
How bad would they have had to play for you to go, "Listen, guys,
you guys,
this was embarrassing.
I coached you guys just stunk it.
You guys stunk it up.
Guys, you should hear what's going on in these headsets right now."
Here's what we did do, though. When we evaluated the next morning, now that, the truth came out after you watched film, and I had to say, old Billy, he ain't cutting it. And we're going to have to do something else. We had a wholesale change. We started off one season at 0-5, and we replaced our entire defensive front because we had an open date. Mm-hmm. And darn if we didn't go three rounds in the playoff because we took a chance on putting some faster, smaller, quicker guys into a defensive line that was inept for 5 weeks. And that was one wholesale change that really paid dividends at midseason.
Yeah, I remember when I would call you, and a lot of coaches, when you ask the broadcaster wants your depth chart, and I would see a completely different one that you would maybe if you played John Tyler or someone the week before, and I always didn't believe you. I was like, that's what you did. You were trying to always tinker.
We did, especially in the non-district games. We'd move people around and try to get the right chemistry. You start over every year. You don't get any carryover value on a team. Mm-hmm. People say, "I got 9 starters here." You're back to ground zero because it's all about chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
played for the state championship in 2006, had 8 starters back the next year, but did not have the right chemistry and lost in the first round of the playoffs to Ennis in an overtime game that we should have won.
Speaking of which, 2006 had a kid named Jared Salubi.
Right.
You're running back. You end up playing for the state championship.
Right.
Jared now joins us on the phone as well. Jared Salubi with Johnny Tusa. Johnny Tusa retiring today as AD. Jared, he at one point was the football coach. You want to say a few things to your coach?
Hey, Coach T, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Jared, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Coach. Doing good. I just wanted to call in and, wish you good luck on retirement and wanted to say congratulations on everything.
Well,
successful career.
I'm humbled by that, and I appreciate that. And God bless you for that. And I'll tell you, same thing I told Derek. It was guys like you that made me look smart, and I appreciate that. And we're forever grateful for you.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. I want to thank you also for giving me a shot and opportunity to showcase my skills. Without you, I wouldn't be the person I am today. So I want to tell you thank you.
I'm glad to have had the opportunity, and I'd be remiss, and I know the guys at the round table know that you made a 99-yard touchdown run in the state championship game, and I ran 42 of those yards. Because when you got to midfield, of course, you were putting a lot of distance between us, but that was an exciting day for me. I know that was an exciting run for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I always remember that day, and I remember that play for sure.
Oh, well, it was a great day. Well, I appreciate you calling in. You doing okay?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. I'm blessed.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, we love you and appreciate you, and hope to see you soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, good luck. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Smokey.
Yeah, you too, Jared. Thanks for calling in. Derek Johnson, Jared Salubi. Paul, you had another thing you wanted to ask.
Yeah, you mentioned chemistry. And I would say that outside of a game plan that's got to be ornate and all that, the toughest thing that you have to do, because there's not a game plan for chemistry. You have to – most of it has to happen naturally. And you just have to – as coaches, don't you just have to – just kind of guide it like a baby bird kind of out of the nest?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. You don't you can't mandate it. You do have to guide it. I mean, there are some disappointing years. We had in 1989, I got six D1 players that we did not get out of district. That was the first time we didn't make the playoffs because they competed with each other, but we didn't compete with the other teams. They were more concerned about who was getting the accolades on our team, and they were jealous of each other. And we went 7-3 that year. That was when you only took one team, you know, to the playoffs. So you go 7-3, 8-2, and you don't beat the right ones. I think Clay Nelson that year won it. You go home. But we were loaded. We were loaded with talent.
You had a team. You had a lot of teams that lost lots of games, but you still went like 8-6. 9-4, 5-8. Tell me about the 5-8 team in 1996.
That was the team I referred to. We started off 0-5. We got beat by Arlington, Lamar. I think Deer Park. There were two Arlington teams in there, and I think Lufkin was on that. Anyhow, we played a who's who schedule, and we just were not very good stopping the run. And we had an open date, and we retooled the defense. We went down and beat Belton in our first ball game, and we were 2-2 in district. Coppers Cove was we were at the time 2-8, and they were we were 2-7 going to that last game, and they were 7-2. We beat them on that night, and I can remember there was an elderly couple sitting in the stands, so I went up to do an interview up in Coppers Cove. You know what you guys
– Oh, yeah.
And you know all about that. So I'm walking through the stands, and this elderly man and his wife are still sitting there kind of dumbfounded. And the guy looked at his wife. He said, "How can they be 2-7 and we're 7-2, and they're going to the playoffs next week, and we're not?" And I had to chuckle a little bit, which reminded me you got to win the right games. Mm-hmm. We went 3-2. We go down and beat A&M Consolidated, and then we played. I'm trying to think who that second game was with. Anyhow, we won two ball games, and then we had to play Lake Highlands again, who had beat us 49-7. That was the other team. It was Lake Highlands. They beat us 49-7, I think, in the regular season. We're ahead of them in the third quarter. You know, that's how far we came, you know. When Jack Moss was the athletic director here, and he was the best we've ever had, he used to tell you, you know, "I'm going to evaluate you. Are you better at the end of the year than you were at the beginning?" That's the litmus test of a coach. Is the team better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning? And that was the only criteria.
I would say every year it would be hard for him to have ever fouled many years where that wasn't the case.
And that was always our hope, that we could build. We didn't want to be as good in those first two or three weeks that we had to be in those last two or three weeks, and because we wanted to grow, you know. And that was pretty much the case.
Well, George Strait doesn't open with Amarillo by Morning, Coach. I mean, you know, you got to—that's where it closes.
That's right.
By the way, on their text line, what did you think about playing Bob McQueen all the times you did?
He and I were great friends, and when I got the job in 1986, you know, people come up to me and say, "You know, if you only win one game, you got to beat Temple. You got to, you know, we don't care. You got to beat Temple." Well, you know, we played Temple 17 times. I think we won 13 of them.
Did you really? Wow.
And we were probably one of the few teams that ever had a winning record against him. But I learned a lot from him. He was – when I was at Jefferson Moore, I used to call on him for advice and so on and so forth. He was a great mentor. He's a great friend. I enjoyed the competition because you knew when you played them, you were going to play one of the best coach teams in the state. And same way with guys like Mike Owens. When you play the best coach teams in the state and they line up and know what to do and all that, your job as a coach becomes easier simply because you know where they're going to be. It's just going to be a matter of you're better than they are or not. But to Bob McQueen is a high school phenomenon. I mean, you win 50 games in a row, you know. You do the math on that one. That was phenomenal.
I think the best, one of the best high school football teams I ever saw at the highest level was Temple in 90, was it two? Whatever team that was, they won the state championship. They had an offensive line that truly looked like they could line up on Saturday and play in college football that year. They were unbelievable.
They were really good.
Joe Blanick's on the line. Is that right? Joe, with the catering business, Blanick's, he wanted to talk, chime in and say hi to Coach. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello. Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing? You catering somewhere tonight?
Well, Zeke, that's what I was going to say. You're not retiring. I see you all the time at these benefits.
That's right. I just stepped aside.
You are helping the community in all kinds of things. You help Ben Johnson with
FCA?
Athletics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with FCA. I see you out with CASA. You're not retiring. You're just going to do more volunteer work to help the community like the good man you are.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate you saying that, Joe. It's all about giving back, and we're going to continue to try to do that.
All right, Joe, thanks for calling in. We had Derek Johnson.
Wait, one more thing.
Okay, it's your show. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm going to come show you how to...
It's not that he's a coach that makes him a good person. It's he's a teacher makes him a good person.
Yep. Joe controlled our show. I get to go cook a prime rib with you.
By the way,
thanks for the great, great call.
I think the reason that Johnny asked him if he was catering somewhere tonight so he could just swing by.
That's right. I'm trying to get an address here.
Go get some horseradish.
We appreciate you, Joe, and all you do for the community. You're a great man.
All right, so you're going to start doing some more. You're going to go back to doing a little bit of work on the side with AFCA. With Todd Berry, is that right?
Right. I'm going to go to the convention next weekend and help them a little bit and do what they need for me to do. I talked to a guy. I'm on, there's a possibility I might interview David Cutcliffe. It's kind of a little deal I did with Coach Taft last year down there. And just asking questions about the state of the game and where we are, those kinds of things, where football is in this day and time. And I'm concerned about it. I know a lot of people are. We seem to have 19,000 penalties for contact, and it's a contact sport.
My God, yeah.
You got to.
I think it's ruining me watching football.
Yeah, it does. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to see some of the stuff that's going on now. You know, you guy gets a really good hit or something and a clean hit, and you're wondering if it's going to be. It's going to be chaos or not.
Yeah, you wait for that little yellow flag to come down.
You're looking at this TV screen.
So it's done. This is it. I know you're going to go be. You're still going to be active. I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah, I really just stepped aside. I don't use the word retire because you got to go do something. And I thank God for my health at my age, and I thank God for the people that I've had the opportunity to associate with. It's just been a great ride. It's been a blessing, and God bless my wife and family. They've been with me all the way, and I'm blessed by a great family, and that's where it starts. You got to have that support at home to get things done, because you spend a lot of time with other people's people and their kids and so on and so forth.
Well, to text from Tom Barfield, you worked with him for a long time. He was here for many years, and then also you did broadcast. He said you were the best he ever worked with when it came to that. The Lorena Press Box. Because we did a game on the roof one time.
Yeah, we went up there. I think the wind was blowing about 40 miles an hour. And I had shoulder surgery that first year, and, we're climbing a ladder into the open air. I said, Barfield, I don't think I'm making near enough money to climb this ladder and sit on this Lorena press box and watch the ball game. But we had some great times. Tom, as you know, he's a consummate professional.
Yep.
And just enjoyed really enjoyed working with him.
You know, I felt bad at the time that we were up there. That was a weightier time in our lives, and the guy we had with us was even bigger.
Yeah,
and I think the people below were like, hey, guys, why don't we just swap? Let's just...
That's right. I hear you.
Hey, I'm glad you could come in. We wanted to give you a little, like, little send-off. It was great to hear from some of your players, Joe and all the others, that Derek and Jared, and wish you the very... I mean, it's not like... This is not like we're like... This is not your eulogy.
No.
This is you just getting away. You're officially out. You're now going in to do other things like you've done before, but we wanted to have you come in the studio and just kind of have a great send-off.
Well, David, I want to say to you and Paul, you know, you guys have done a yeoman's job for sports in this area like none other. Keep up the good work. People believe in you and listen to you, and you guys are really special, and I'm appreciative of that.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Right. Johnny Tusa, 41 and a half years at Waco ISD. This is ESPN Central Texas.